This is a recording of ISIS International from the Commission on the Status of Women, held in New York in March 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Thanks. I've been asked to talk about taking stock and really see where we are today with women in the media. And the first thing I would like to do is to draw your attention to the Global Media Monitoring Project conducted by the World Association of Christian Communication. The World Association of Christian Communication issued the preliminary report of their 2010 Media Monitoring Project earlier this week. They do that every 5 years on a random, unannounced day. They look worldwide into how women and gender issues are represented in the media. And as I said, it's only the preliminary report. The full report comes out in September. But this year's Global Media Monitoring Project was conducted in 130 countries, and UNIFEM supported this study. And I just want to quote some of the key findings. Unsurprisingly, progress of women in the media is still too slow for our taste. And I don't think any of you would be surprised about that. First key finding, women's representation in the news remains low. Only 24% of the people interviewed, seen or heard on TV, on the radio, in the newspapers are women. And there's different shades of gray in there, of course, 24%. When you look at the vox populi, it's people being interviewed in the streets on any given issue, women have almost parity. Yet when you look at experts being interviewed on specific issues, women are just below 20% in basically all areas. Only 16% of all stories focus specifically on women. And the 12 areas of special concern identified in the Beijing Platform for Action and have on average less than 1.5% of media attention each. Second finding, news stories by female reporters are of course still fewer than by male reporters, although there the picture is not so bad. 44% of stories on TV and 35% in newspapers are reported by women. And these are slight increases in both media. Only in radio, and that is surprising, there was a drastic drop to 27%, down from 45% in 2005. So that is really surprising in radio. And when you look at the number of women journalists, also there's a slight increase. In many countries, it's almost parity at around 40%. But what you, of course, find is the glass ceiling, like in all other professions, that is in senior positions in the media. You would find far less women than men. Third key finding is that almost half of all news stories reinforce gender stereotypes. And only 12% of news stories highlight issues of gender equality or inequality. So they are clearly a deficit. Overall, when you look at the Global Media Monitoring Project has been conducted since 1995, there's always a slow increase, a slow progress, but the changes are really more or less incremental. So the question really is, where is the silver line? And I think, Diana, what you just outlined is when you look at social media, there is really a change that is remarkable. The Global Media Monitoring Project does not include social media because, like 5 years ago, of course, they were by far not as big. There really has been, I think, a revolution there. And when you look at social media, where the boundaries between news audience and news providers blur, of course, as you know, there you see that women are much stronger engaged than men. When you look at the two big, Facebook and Twitter, that everybody of you knows and probably most of you are represented on, you have 57% of women users of both Facebook and Twitter. So that is really a big change, and there's a big difference. And what does that mean in terms of numbers? I found that this recent survey of Blogger that specified the number of women in the US alone who engage once a week on social media, and at 42 million women. That is a huge amount of people engaging and of women engaging. And it means, I think, for us here today, it means two things. First of all, you have a vast audience out there for the issues that are of concern to us. You look at, you know, just some random numbers. If you look at a big site like Coffee Mom, you have 3.6 million unique visitors per month. Bloggers, 750,000 per month, and so on and so forth. So you have big networks out there, blogs out there, social networking sites out there that specifically attract and address women. Our own experience with social media at Unifem has been encouraging. We ventured out for the first time in 2008, really on a larger scale, into social media in the context of our Say No to Violence Against Women campaign. I don't know if some of you are familiar with that. It was at that time still a signature campaign. We asked people worldwide to sign on a global call to end violence against women. And within a month of going out to blogs, to Facebook, to Twitter, to social networking sites, we had a conservative audience of 7 million people, probably much higher, up to 21 million. And with a good regional representation too, of course, although of course there's a strong focus on the US and on Europe. I have to say we liked that very much, to reach 7 million people within less than a month's time through these networks. And we have since revamped this particular initiative, Say No to Violence Against Women, as a social media platform. We have rebuilt it as a social media platform where people can share their stories, where people can share their experiences and actions on ending violence against women and create their content themselves. And I would like to invite and encourage all of you to join us on Say No to Violence Against Women to have a look at that. And we see that the response is where we relaunched the initiative as a social networking platform in November, and we set a goal of registering 100,000 actions by International Women's Day, and we are at 200,000 actions now registered from people and organizations around the world. So I think for us that has been quite a remarkable experience. One thing to say, the question is, why do women engage more on social media? And as it seems there, and Deanna, you mentioned it too, it is because it's just that, it's social. Women like to meet, when asked why they engage in social media, they say, it's because we meet, we can engage with people who have the same interests as we do. And that is a very strong, that is very interesting. And I said, so first you have a vast audience out there, but second also, it means that you have a kind of pressure point also for traditional media when you look at that. And traditional news media have looked and are looking at social media and say, gee, why do we have such a huge representation of women there? Because after all, audience means business. And of course everybody's interested in attracting as large an audience as possible. So I think it will have repercussions, hopefully and possibly, on the representation of women in also in the traditional media, the fact that women engage so much stronger in social media. But I want to circle back a little bit briefly in closing to traditional media, because I do not think that social media are the panacea for everything. And you still see rapid growth in traditional media in some countries. For example, in India, you see a strong growth of newspaper distribution because the literacy rates are going up. So there's this by no way to say that you should disregard traditional media. And I think there's a number of initiatives and trends that are important for us here and that should see further replication. There are some trends towards national legislation and policies, and Carolyn, you mentioned, of course. In a number of countries, for example, in Sweden and Samoa, there's legislation on radio and television broadcasting that expressly promotes the principle of gender equality. In Asia and Europe, in a number of countries, you see broadcasting codes and codes and guidelines to address discrimination in the portrayal of women. And for in other countries like Sweden and Jordan, there's even specific legislation on that. Also, I think in recent years and since Beijing, what you have seen is an array of successful approaches to increase women's representation in the media and media's capacity. It starts with, and just to name here a few, there are now, of course, a good number of women's media networks that help push the issues. There's more training of journalists, starting with curriculum development that starts at journalist schools. There are directories of women's experts. None of these approaches is yet widely spread enough, but I think they have been successful. And if you look at the changes that have happened over the 15 years, a lot was behind that too. I think it is important to stress also that it's necessary that the learning is on both sides, not only on the sides of the media, but often also on the side of, for example, women candidates who want to present their story, who want to present their case. We've been engaged some years ago in a very interesting initiative with the Interpress Service to train women candidates and journalists in Africa on representing women in the media. And it was a workshop that was conducted together with the women candidates and with the journalists. So the learning was on both sides, on the women candidates, politician side, on how to pitch a story, how to understand the media, and on the journalist side to understand what the gender issues are. And last but not least, media in recent years have contributed to change, and that is an opportunity that we should all take. I said earlier that only 12% of stories shed light on gender equality, as reported by the Global Media Monitoring Project, but this is three times as many stories as in 2005. And that is really a big change. And I think that is something where we can, something that we should take advantage of. In our work at UNIFEM, I can say we have seen this. We have, I think, there is stronger openness for partnerships. We have partnerships with news organizations like IBS. We produced, for example, together with our sister agency, UNFA, a seven-part series on sexual and gender-based violence for the BBC, which I also think there you see a change of willingness to take on a subject like that and really to broadcast it in prime time with reruns. So I think that is there is a change here when you look at it three times as much as in 2005. So the baseline is, I think there are opportunities, there is a silver lining, there has been change, and it's of course up to us to continue pushing for it through our work and to take advantage of it. Thank you very much. Yeah.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.